hockey, 60 minutes on ice. The Flames at 5 is only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, home of the Calgary Flames and the NHL.
Coming up a little later on, Chris Johnson from Sportsnet will join us as well. We'll hear from the assistant, I keep calling him special, he's the assistant general manager of the Calgary Flames, Craig Conroy, but right now, our good friend, Eric Francis, who joins us every Friday. Why? Because he's brought to you by the Beltliner, a modern diner opening soon in the Beltline on 12th Avenue and 2nd Street Southwest. You know him, you love him from Jack FM, the Calgary Sun, and Sportsnet. Before we get into the other stuff we were going to talk about, care to weigh in on Johnny Gaudreau not playing now in the All-Star game?
Well, I think it was a little presumptuous to assume that he was going to play in the game. I'm not even sure he'd be the second-best rookie in the league. Like, did he deserve second-best billing? I think as a Calgarian, as someone who covers him, I'd say yeah, but I'm not sure that's unanimous around the league that he's the second-best. So
yeah, but they're not even replacing. That's the thing. Okay, you want to have that argument? Mike Hoffman deserves to go? I'm willing to have that with you. But they're not replacing the spot. Right? They've already taken Aaron Ekblad and replaced Eric Johnson, the defenseman. They replaced forward and Malkin yesterday with Forsberg. So now yeah. They decided, we're just not going to put anybody in there?
Yeah. No, I know. And everyone gets all excited. Saw the internet campaign, the Twitter campaign today, people trying to, and that's great. Like, that's great that people are playing hard for Mike. Like, I totally think that's awesome. So I'd love it to see him in the game.
It's not the end of humanity as we know it. City won't burn to the ground.
Listen. Yeah. We're going to get into this whole All-Star talk, and I just want to say this.
Yeah.
I'm not one of these guys. I'm not a fan of the All-Star game. I haven't watched it since I think Mario Lemieux played in it. But, I'm not one of these people that says cancel it or don't have it.
Right.
I think it's exactly like the outdoor game. It's a reward for local for hockey markets.
Yep.
For that city, for Columbus, it's a big deal this weekend.
Yep.
And they deserve it. I mean, they've supported that team pretty well in Columbus, and so they deserve a little celebration of the game. That's all the All-Star game is. So let all these stars come into town, let everybody fawn, but don't expect anybody to care outside of that city, and don't expect many people to watch it on TV. It's exactly like the All-Star or the outdoor game that way. I don't care about the outdoor game until it comes to my city or a city that I'm covering it in. Otherwise, I think it's lost its luster, and but it's still a good thing for the league.
Well, is it or isn't it? I mean, I understand what you're saying. I mean, ultimately, what do you want? Are we talking about a local event? If you're talking about a local event, aren't you better served by having just the outdoor game? Or, your malaise in all of this, is that just how far gone this is? I mean, everybody we've talked to this week has said the same thing. Not really in love with it. Wish there was a better, wish it had more meaning and all of those things. It almost seems like a collective hands in the air. Well, they're just going to do it anyway, and it works for the local, so we'll go. Is that good enough anymore?
Well, I mean, how do you jazz it up? Do you want to do what baseball did? I still am not convinced that's the best way to do it, and, put the Game 7 of the Stanley Cup on the line for whichever conference wins the game. Like, I don't really want to see that. I mean, I guess I would have some more eyeballs on it, but I don't think that's the way to do it. I think you earn your seventh game by virtue of playing really the best hockey in the regular season. So I don't know what else can be done with it. I haven't heard many constructive examples of what can be done to make it better. I think there are kids out there who like watching it. Like, I really do think there are a lot of kids who watch it on the weekend, want to see them snipe the targets, want to see who's the fastest skater, all these sort of things. So I don't think it's I think it's, more for the jaded or the older fan who just says, I've been there, done that, seen that. And if they hustled, I mean, I think the best way to fix the game was if, guys cared about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they hustled.
Yeah.
I just think that because the players don't mail it in, how on earth could we as fans be expected to care about it if the players don't care about it? But again, Rob, I like the fact that at the end of the year, you look and you say, okay, who was an all-star? Who made the first all-star? And I know we have our voting, the professional hockey writers and broadcasters who do that as well. But I still like, I go back to the old hockey card days when you had hockey cards that showed who was on the first all-star team and the second all-star team. And that means stuff to players, I think.
I'll stop you there. I think you raise a great point because and we can go beyond sports, take the Pro Bowl, for instance. You look at the timing of it. Oh, he can't go. He's injured. So he goes, he's the third replacement or whatever. Doesn't matter. And a month later, he's a Pro Bowler. And that's how he's referred to when he goes to a new team. He's a former Pro Bowler. It's the same thing with the All-Star game. Absolutely. And that has value. I do want to backtrack a little bit. You have brought up the two events that everybody brings up. Where are you at on maybe just saying, okay, the Winter Classic's now going to be the All-Star game, and the All-Star game's going to be played outdoors, and that's how we're going to do it?
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't argue with that one too much. I kind of like that. I mean, it's a little bit different. It adds a little bit of a wrinkle from the same old that we've seen with both of those events. So you kind of jazz up two events once. I still, again, I don't have a problem with it. I think next year they're going to have four outdoor games.
Yeah.
And again, I know the average fan just goes, oh, my Lord, stop it, would you? But, it doesn't harm you when there's an All-Star game there's an outdoor game or an All-Star game, for that matter, going on in Columbus this weekend. Like, who does it hurt? So why would you get all upset and crap all over? Like, you know, again, it sounds like I am crapping all over. I just say I still think have it and just let those people who are embracing it embrace it.
There's a difference between, you know, having an opinion on it and – you know, railing against it.
Yeah, you know, and I'm not, exactly. I don't like it, but I'm not railing against it.
No, I like the skills competition. That part I will watch, I readily admit. Yeah. But I don't, you know, it's not like on Monday I can't wait to come in and go, boy, Mark Giordano was +2, and did you see how he controlled his gaps in the neutral zone on that? No, it ain't that kind of game. I get it. I just, part of it, and this goes back to my whole theory about nothing drives me more insane than people in our business who, when the playoffs roll around, begin to criticize officiating and do the same thing. It's you can tell when it's going to happen. You know which round it's going to happen. You know who's going to do it. And nobody ever offers up a constructive alternative. Nobody says, okay, this is a problem every year. What are we going to deal with it? Okay, the All-Star game. Everybody's bad mode. So if not that, then what? And your points about, hey, we can talk as much, you know, did you watch Mark Giordano today? Dude's fired up to be there. It's a big deal for the captain of the Calgary Flames to be there. Johnny Gaudreau, it's a big deal. Why would you want to rob these guys of that? That part I get. But what could we do that we get away from the negativity? What could we do and people could go, that's cool?
I'll tell you what you can do. Mascots.
Yes.
And I love what have you talked about. Are people aware of how exciting it's going to be with the mascots?
It's underway as we speak, the broomball game.
The broomball, there's dodgeball, there's a three-legged race, there's a wheelbarrow race. And if people are thinking I'm making this up,
nope.
Go and Google it,
because
I'm not.
Yeah.
But actually, I'm dead serious when I say I honestly think that they should televise 5 or 10 minutes of a mascot game. That's funny stuff. When we have mascot games in Calgary over the years, time to time, it's pretty funny stuff. It's entertaining. So I don't have a problem with any of that. I think that, again, for those players, this is something they'll remember for the rest of their life. You don't think Johnny Gaudreau right now is losing his mind sitting in a locker room alongside, guys like Jonathan Toews and all the other great players there.
Sure.
No, I think this is great. And don't forget, at the end of the day, I always try to remind people, it's all in the name of entertainment. We all think it's life or death on whether teams win or lose, but really the most important thing is whether or not people are entertained. Otherwise, you have no product, you have no business model, and you have no teams. So this is all part of the entertainment. Trot your stars out. Give them a platform to let people write a million stories and broadcasters do a million stories and you and I to talk about different stories about these stars, these great representatives of the game, these great ambassadors, and that's another great, thing that comes out of these games.
I eagerly await doing this segment 3 years from now when we're fighting over why Harvey the Hound took the All-Star event off and, was replaced by an American Hockey League. My Scorch finally makes the All-Star game.
Opening old wound.
Yeah. Speaking of the American Hockey League, Yoni Ortiel will not start in goal tonight for the Adirondack Flames as they're in Rochester. Doug Carr will, but he is back in Adirondack. Now, does he come back on Monday? Should we see him up against the Buffalo Sabres on Tuesday?
No. I've given a lot of thought to this. I see only three scenarios where I think it's reasonable for Yanni Ortiel to come back this year. And, hey, if he doesn't come back this year at all, that wouldn't surprise me. I think it would be a lost opportunity. But here are the three scenarios. One, obviously, if either goaltender gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Two, if both goaltenders en masse just collectively tank and it's clear that they need better goaltending from somebody other than those two guys, I can't see that scenario unfolding.
Right.
And the third scenario, and the one that I really think there's an onus or some pressure on management to make a trade.
Right.
You've got an opportunity right now. You know, I think you've seen enough. You know, Yanni Ortiel is up here next year. You know, Jonas Hiller is up here next year. Last year, you and I debated whether or not, hey, maybe you trade Hiller over Rammel.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yep.
But I think you have an extra bullet in the chamber, and I think that it's incumbent upon this ownership group, while more so the management group, Brad Tree Living, to make hay while the sun is shining. You've got an opportunity right now to potentially parlay Carey Rommel, who's nothing more than a spare part now on this team. And I say that with respect, if that's possible. He's played very well. But he doesn't fit into their future plans, and this team is all about the future. And it's about winning this year now. So if you I think that you want to trade him as much as you can. Remember, they got Red O'Bara last year for a second rounder.
Right.
I'm not suggesting anyone's foolish enough to do that again. But if you can get a second or a third rounder for Carey Rommel, you make that trade the day that the freeze ends off the All-Star game, because you can get Yanni Ortiz up and start the future with him here. Otherwise, it makes no sense to call him up and him be the third guy, or there'd be three goalies here. I don't understand. I wouldn't understand that scenario at all. So I think he's down for a long time.
Well, okay, we'll deal with the trading one first, and we'll come back to the other one, because I have a theory on the other, but the trading part, anytime I think about, moving one of these guys, I go, well, who's going to want him? And then I have to think, as you reminded us, about Red O'Bara in a second-round pick. Nobody saw that coming. But right now, I find it difficult to believe that you can find a landing spot for Carey Rommel. He hasn't played a full game now in over a month. He has been supplanted by Jonas Hiller. He's actually been, you might make a case, he's been supplanted by the young guy, too.
Mm-hmm.
We just, we watch Minnesota kind of float around and, get Devin Dubnyk for a third-round pick. At least Dubnyk had been playing and winning. I'm curious if there is a landing spot for somebody like Carey Rommel right now.
It's tough. You have to, first of all, you're going to have to get him to play again. There's no question about that.
Yes.
I agree with you.
He
has to start playing again. I'm not saying put him in number one to showcase him, because right now it's not about showcasing. Right now it's about trying to win as many games as possible and making
mm-hmm.
the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But those two guys have both kind of been 1A, 1B. I know Hiller's, a little better statistically, and I think the coach has a little more faith in him.
Yep.
But get Rommel playing again, and unless he's, not playing well, then you keep playing him, and let him play, let him showcase himself to the rest of the league. If there is a biter, then make a trade, even if it's a fifth rounder. At this point in time, what have you got to lose? You got Yanni Ortiz.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I know the sample size is small, but I still think that you're every bit as comfortable with him in that as you are Carey Rommel right now. So, I'm sure that Brad Tree Living is knocking on a lot of doors right now, asking if anyone's looking to add a little depth to their goaltending ranks.
Mm-hmm.
If he could pull off a trade, that's great. I say that there's a little pressure on him to do so, because I think a lot of people are thinking that. But yeah, the reality is, I agree, it's going to be tough. There's no second rounder out there. That Red O'Bara was a steal.
And
for the Flames.
I agree. Let's go back and then deal with the immediate, the right now. If I had to ask you which Flames goalie, take all the ups and downs and everything. Let's just talk about the three goalies on record here: Ortiz, Rommel, and Hiller. You're playing that game against Buffalo. I'm not worried about development. I'm not worried about contracts. I'm just asking you, who's starting for you?
Good question, because you're tempted to almost say, well, you can go with maybe your backup because it's Buffalo. But the other way you have to look at it is, it's Buffalo. You have to win that game. There's
yep.
no doubt about it.
Yep.
So I think you go with Jonas Hiller.
You do, eh?
I think that the way the coaches have handled everything this year with the goaltending has been absolutely perfect. Like, I don't know if I can remember a scenario this year where I said, oh, I vehemently disagree with starting this guy. Even with the way they handled Ortiz, those guys just kept going with him. That's awesome. That's great. That's working on the fly, and that's going with who's hot. I've always thought that's the better system. I always liked having a 1A and a 1B
mm-hmm.
over having a guy who plays 70 games and a guy who plays 10.
Mm-hmm.
That's always the best scenario to me, and I think they've handled perfectly. So I'd go with Hiller, and then after that, ask me the question after that game. So let's see how Hiller played. Let's see if he's healthy. Let's see if Rommel is healthy, and then go from there.
Yeah, because where I'm at, I understand the long-term implications of it, and I will fully, readily admit, if you put Yoni Ortiz back in Adirondack and you don't recall him this year, you're not setting him back. You're not hurting him.
Yeah.
What I am having a question is, if you don't play him in the NHL, are you hurting the Flames? And you know what, Eric? It comes to two questions for me. One, kid's played all of 14 NHL games. his whole career, spread over 2 years. So when do you begin? When can you seriously have a conversation about, you know, what and who he is? Because, look, he looked great in L.A. He looked mortal against Anaheim. End of story. And then there's better goalies than him that have had that happen to him. But as I look at those five games, that's as good a stretch of goaltending as the Flames have gotten this year. If their goal is to make the playoffs, is he not their best goalie right now? That's the question. I'm not saying I have the answer. That's my question.
Yeah, but that's a great question, but there's a lot more that you have to weigh into.
I agree.
The merits of having three goalies up on your roster, which does very little good for a team. You know, when you need other options, they're potentially putting in your lineup. I just think that those three scenarios that I painted earlier, the one that I see is, you know, if both these goalies fell flat. But I just don't see that big a difference in the goaltending between, Ortio, don't get me wrong, caught lightning in a bottle and was phenomenal those four games. But, you know, the fifth game, he fell back down to earth. I'm not saying that he's not good or anything.
You
I'm
know.
Just saying,
yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying we've seen Jonas Hiller catch lightning in a bottle this year, and he's the reason.
Right.
I would argue that he's the number one reason of all the different reasons. There's a lot of good reasons, but he's the number one reason why this team is in a playoff race right now.
No, don't do that to me right at the end. No.
I struggle with that because I think Mark Giordano is the number one reason, but Jonas Hiller, without the goaltending that they had early this year and giving them confidence and winning games earlier, that was so huge for this team. And I think he deserves a ton of the credit for that. So I'll stick to my guns and say he's the top one or two reasons.
Well, let's both make a little note of this, and let's start with that next week. Because I have actually on this very program said that I think at best it's been okay. You know, if we were building a scenario in the preseason, if, you know, this team's going to be in a playoff spot at the All-Star game, I think both of us at the top of our list would have said they're going to have incredible goaltending. I don't think the goaltending's been incredible, Eric. I think it's been good. I think it's had its moments, but I don't think it's been – I think it's okay. It's not Pekka-Rinne in Nashville. It's not, I'm trying to think of another. It's Varlamov has been on fire for Colorado, kind of their resurgence. I don't think these guys have led to a resurgence here.
Wow. Well, we are going to have to argue that next week. I will say this, that I don't remember many games this year where we said, like we used to say about Kiprusoff probably five times a year, where this guy completely stole the game.
The Chicago game, for sure.
I think maybe two games.
Yep.
But other than that, but they've just been there on such a consistent basis, and especially those first 20 games,
those guys did stand
on their head.
I understand what you're saying, and my point isn't that I don't think they're the reason they're in eighth and not seventh or something like that. I don't think that at all, but you mentioned it. I think the defense, I think some of the kids. I go through a couple of things before I get to the goalies. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
no, All right. No, you got a fight to catch, and we'll do this next week because I have another guest coming up.
Funny that I'm at the airport right now going to Phoenix. Am I going to the Pro Bowl? You know, speaking of meaningless games, no, I'm not going to the Pro Bowl. It just occurred to me 2 days ago that the Pro Bowl is actually here this weekend.
You could probably get tickets.
I could probably get tickets, yeah. That's not the plan, let me tell you.
All right, pal. Thanks for doing this.
Have a great weekend.
There you go. Eric Francis brought to you by the Beltliner, a modern diner opening soon in the Beltline on 12th Avenue and 2nd Street. Southwest. A little later on, he is the assistant general. I keep wanting to give him the wrong title. The assistant general manager of the Calgary Flames. Craig Conroy was on this morning with Boomer and Ryan Pinder. Had some interesting things to say about the most scouted game we've seen in a long time, the CHL Top Prospects game last night, as well about Joni Ortiz, who we were just talking about. But when we come back, Chris Johnston from Sportsnet will join us inside hockey. He's the one that has broken the Johnny Gaudreau story. We'll try to get to the bottom of it. Again, is it life and death? No, but come on. We would have all loved here in Calgary to see him. You want your guy there. It's Flames at 5 for Pete the Plumber, the superhero of residential plumbing and heating, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
30 teams, only one cup. The pursuit of Lord Stanley is only right here. Sportsnet 960 is Calgary's home for the National Hockey League. Flames at 5, brought to you by Pete the Plumber. Outstanding service, competitive pricing, professional personnel, and proud recipients of the BBB Business Ethics Award and the Consumer Choice Award from 2003 to 2014. Let's talk hockey. 60 Minutes on Ice. The Flames at 5 is only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, home of the Calgary Flames and the NHL.
Inside Hockey on The Flames at 5 is brought to you by Calgary Co-op. Check out the local produce, meat, and baked goods brought up fresh from Co-op's farm team.
Well, we continue to look forward to the NHL All-Star Weekend in Columbus. Two representatives from the Calgary Flames, Mark Giordano, the captain, and Johnny Gaudreau. Now, Gaudreau will participate in the skills competition. There was some thought he might participate in the game as a replacement for Sidney Crosby. I'm not sure that that's the case. Very pleased that Chris Johnston from Sportsnet can join us. Chris, thanks for doing this. And by no means is this one of those crucify the messenger things, but can you give us a little update on what's happened in terms of Johnny Gaudreau playing or not playing in the All-Star game on Sunday?
Right. Well, I'm here to be shot if that's what it takes. I certainly was, I think, the first to put it out that had happened. And, you know, as far as I can tell, what I think happened in the bigger picture was there was maybe a difference of opinion within the NHL offices how to proceed. I mean, their biggest issue is they were very surprised last night to get word around supper time that Sidney Crosby wouldn't be coming here. That definitely took the league off guard. And I think there was a lot of debate about what to do next. I believe they reached out to other NHL players who might be worthy of the honor. And you know, those guys were not answering their phones or on vacations and not willing to come. And I think some, and clearly the information I got, was that Gaudreau had been elevated. But ultimately, that isn't the case. And they're going to play one forward down at the All-Star game when they get there on Sunday.
Is there a story behind that decision? I mean, again, it's real easy here in Calgary to go, wow, look at Phil Forsberg, look at Aaron Ekblad. Why the decision to go one short?
I think, honestly, what it came down to, and I don't have this 100%, is that they're worried about the other guys that are here as rookies, you know, being even more marginalized. That you know, the original idea, of course, is to have the six rookies be part of the rookie showcase, play, participate in the skills competition, be here to be part of the events and meet, you know, some of their colleagues. And, you know, a lot of these guys you're expecting to be part of future All-Star games. And you know, I think ultimately the belief might have come down to, you know, if we add this guy, you know, you only have three rookies then, you know, what's their role?
Right.
And I believe there might also have been some concern, or not concerns, but issues with the availability of the materials they need to show the game, you know, whether his name's been printed on a banner, stuff like this. I know it sounds crazy, but yep. they came here not expecting to have that late pullout from Sidney Crosby, and it's created kind of issues that you know, I don't think the NHL anticipated. And unfortunately for Johnny, and unfortunately for myself, if I'm being selfish, I got caught up in it, and I was told that he was in, and that isn't the case. And, you know, I think he thought for a time he was in, and that isn't the case as well.
With Chris Johnston from Sportsnet, who is in Columbus for the All-Star game, let's talk about our, you know, the bigger story here. Of course, Johnny's a Calgary story, but the bigger story is no Sidney Crosby. This one's a delicate one, isn't it, Chris, in the sense that here's your, you know, the face of your league. He's only been to one All-Star game, legitimately hurt. He's not going to play against Winnipeg. This is an interesting minefield for the NHL to navigate, isn't it?
It is, because they've been down this road before with Sidney, and, you know, 2009 seems like eons ago, but when they had the All-Star game in Montreal there, Crosby was injured, and there was he had been voted in as a starter for the game, and there was a lot of backroom negotiations to get him to come to Montreal to salute the crowd, basically to be there for the introductions and not participate. And you know, there's kind of that whole idea lingering about, you know, whether he's taking it off or not. And, you know, I have no doubt that he's injured to some extent, but, you know, we know at this point in the season a lot of guys are. And you know, I do think it's delicate. You know, obviously the NHL is disappointed. I'm sure my bosses at Sportsnet are disappointed. Sure. NBC is the same deal. I mean, you know, probably even some fans who watch this game or have tickets to go to the game to see this sort of the game's marquee name added. And you know, the All-Star game always has this issue. There's always guys who pull out and don't show up. But, you know, when it's someone of his caliber, it certainly draws attention, and negative attention in this case, to the game. And, you know, I do think there's some disappointment that he won't be here in some form, you know, even if it was just to sort of be part of the events but not skate on the ice.
What about being there? What about being on the ground? How would you evaluate Columbus and the effort that they put into this event?
Well, you know, it's been good. I mean, despite sort of the easy storylines that to sort of pick apart negativity, is that there's actually a pretty good vibe here. And you know, in my experience, I was at the game in Raleigh. I was in Ottawa and Montreal when they had the All-Star game. It seems to work kind of in less traditional hockey markets, I think, better in some ways because, you know, let's face it, they're reaching out to fans that aren't on the same level of sophistication. I'm not saying there aren't true hockey fans here in Columbus, but I think that this is more of an event, and mm-hmm. and there's maybe a little less cynicism about the game itself and skills competition and everything. I think people are just excited to have, you know, still a number of high-profile NHL players here. You have a lot of the owners here. They're having a Board of Governors meeting tomorrow. Obviously, Gary Bettman and everyone from the league office. I mean, it's still a major NHL event when you're on the ground. And you know, I think for a city like Columbus, which had the draft in 2007, but basically hasn't had any other notable thing happen NHL-wise here other than getting a team, you know, 15-odd years ago, this is a moment for them. And you know, you do sense the excitement when you're here. It's a small downtown and everything's kind of together. There's four or five hotels that everyone's staying at in the same area, and you feel the buzz. And you know, I think at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. You know, I don't think it plays as well, as I mentioned, sometimes in the Canadian cities. Sure. 'Cause, you know, let's face it, we have hockey fans who can watch any regular season game and watch every regular season game. And it's not quite the same, but in a city like this, I think it really works.
Chris, you mentioned the word cynicism, and I don't think, you know, be lying. It. I'm maybe in that category. I look at the All-Star game and, you know, kind of nitpick it. But there, in terms of the hockey people, in terms of the league, and in terms of everybody who's invested in this, is there cynicism or is this still a viable event for the National Hockey League?
We live in a cynical world. You know, that's one thing I believe firmly in. And, oh, let's face it, we're all active on Twitter. And, you know, I think we're kind of involved in a machine that's always bringing things down. So, you know, I get it. And I've been lucky. I've been paid to go to 1,000 hockey games in my life.
Yeah.
And I realize this isn't on the same level as that. And I'm not ever going to argue that. But one thing I like about this personally, and I think others do, is that this is probably the least important hockey weekend of the year where everyone's together, which might sound silly to say.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the
yeah.
real benefits here is that the players are here, but, you know, no one's really worried about the losing streak or whatever else is nagging them or the trade deadline. And, you know, you get team executives here, and for at least a few days, the pressure's off. I think even for the heads of the league. And you know, as a result, everyone can kind of have a bit of fun together. And I do think that's still one reason why this works, that, you know, there's probably still work to be done on making this a better TV package and appealing to the fans at home. And maybe they'll never re sort of coup that or what they had. You know, I grew up in the 80s and 90s, and I think one of the great things about the All-Star game back then is we didn't get so many highlights. We didn't get games from all around the league. And kind of the whole idea of seeing, you know, Wayne Gretzky pass to Mario Lemieux was so foreign, the concept of it. Whereas now, you know, I think we know a lot more. We see a lot more and consume a lot more. So there's sort of the novelty is worn off in some ways. But I think from an on-the-ground kind of perspective, this is still a great event for the players and the league because everyone's here and it doesn't mean that much. And that's kind of a good thing because I think sometimes we lose sight in the sport of, you know, it is just meant to be fun. It is just a game. And I know it's a business as well, but you know, this is one weekend where it just feels like things aren't quite as important as normal and everyone can kind of interact on a different sort of level.
There is business, however, to take care of tomorrow with the commissioner, Gary Bettman. He'll hold an availability after the Board of Governors meetings. Chris, are you expecting, I mean, obviously we've heard and you've reported on the World Cup and other things. What are we expecting from Gary Bettman? Any major announcements?
I think there'll be a series of them. You know, I think it's finally going to be finalized, and something else I'd been writing about at Sportsnet.ca is that we're going to get the Habs and Bruins officially going to be the Winter Classic next year. I think there'll be more details on the Stadium Series games to be played in Denver and Minnesota. And finally, the World Cup is probably the centerpiece item. It sounds like everything is finally sort of the I's and T's have been crossed and dotted, so to speak, and everything is in line to unveil, you know, that 2016 World Cup event. And, you know, nothing has changed from what I reported back in November. It's going to be mm-hmm. a European team and a 23 and under team that joins kind of the six quote-unquote traditional hockey nations. And, you know, I really believe that's a one-off. I think it's going to be a one-time thing. I know there's been a lot of negative reaction to that, but basically, I don't think they had time. They didn't feel to pull together a proper European qualifying tournament. But I would expect, A, that the World Cup is now here to stay as a more permanent part of the league's international calendar. And I do think there's a commitment to get it where it is just eight countries. And there's kind of a European system where the Slovenias, the Slovakias, Switzerland, Germany, you name it, we'll have a separate tournament to figure out which two teams join the traditional hockey powers in it down the line.
Interesting response, I'm sure, as you allude to, but what's the response like from hockey people? I mean, you talked about it before, you know, the social media and everything, there's a tendency to be outraged and angry about everything. But I'm curious about how people have received the two team ideas or the two new team ideas within the hockey community.
Well, you know, for players like Anze Kopitar, right? I mean, Slovenia is never, most likely, ever going to be in part of this. So I think on a selfish level, he is happy to be part of it. I know one part, an important aspect of all this, and I'm sure this will be expanded upon tomorrow from Gary Bettman when this is all announced, is that the players that are impacted by it directly, you know, which is basically the Swiss players, the Slovak players, Kopitar, a few others, were heavily consulted on it. And I think, from what I've heard, everyone really bought in. I think the Slovaks like the idea that they actually have a chance to win now. And then, it's not to insult their countrymen. And I know that in Vancouver, they were a fourth place finisher at the Olympics. And, they've achieved stuff at the international level. But those guys actually feel like they're going to be on a team that's going to be competitive there. And I think that shouldn't be forgotten here. I mean, this is an NHL event with the NHLPA and they're hoping to create competitive games. They don't want 8-0 round robin games, which we still see at the World Juniors. For those at the World Championship, that goes concurrent with the NHL playoffs, it's the same thing. And they're trying to create the most, get the most NHL stars in one event, but also have the most competitive games. And I'm one, this is the one I know is being ripped everywhere. I like the 23 and under idea. I mean, the whole idea of Canadian U.S. players. We're going to have Connor McDavid, I would assume, as a centerpiece on that team. But a number of other players sort of playing against the older guys. I think selfishly from a Canadian perspective, it gives those guys an experience in a big event prior to being a really big event, for example, the 2018 Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I think it's a compelling storyline. And let's face it, they're basically inventing a hockey tournament here. I mean, I know there's some brief past with the World Cup and the Canada Cups and things like that, but these guys are going to have a chance to play Canada and against a 23 and under team. I think it could be an interesting dynamic. And again, I understand where it's not a nationalistic thing, but to me, I still think it will be a neat hockey event when that happens. That day happens in September 2016. And I think, once we all kind of get used to the idea and we get to the event, I think a lot of that cynicism will die down and we'll just appreciate it for kind of a hockey exhibition and see what happens.
Larry Gowan said it best. We're all strange animals. We get upset about all-star games, yep. But I'm like you. I bring on the under 23 and the other team. That's fantastic. It's what makes the world go round, Chris. It really does.
Well, and listen, we all know hockey culture. You're part of it. I'm part of it.
Yep.
But, sometimes I think new ideas have not always been embraced in hockey culture. And one thing I think the NHL has done fairly well at, again, not everyone's on board with the whole outdoor game strategy and all that. They are trying to do new things. They're trying to expand beyond where they've been. And this may flop. But as I said, I'm darn near certain this is a one-off. And it's something they're going to try. And I'm kind of willing, because I've liked some of the other things they've done, to grant them maybe a little bit more leeway here, to prejudge the thing. And it's not the Olympics. It shouldn't be confused what it is. I mean, I love the Olympics. I've been in the last two Olympic tournaments. To me, it's the best hockey. It's pure. It gets countries, my mom watches Team Canada play.
Right.
She's not watching, the Leafs and Flames play on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
But I think that still has an important place in the hockey world. But this is a chance to create new things. And then, they're going to take it from city to city. It's going to be in Toronto in 2016. But I think you'll see this thing move around. And it's a chance to grow the sport and try new things. And in the big picture, I think we should all be open to that, because the same old gets boring, no matter who you are, no matter what industry you're in.
Really appreciate the time, Chris. I know it's really busy for you, but thanks for, A, filling us in on the Johnny Gaudreau story, and B, your impressions of what's going on there in Columbus. We'll talk soon. Thanks for doing this, pal.
Yeah, thanks for not roasting me too much. I feel bad about putting bad info out, but it came from a good place. It was just the wrong info, I guess.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. Thanks, Chris.
Take care.
Chris Johnson from Sportsnet. Again, reporting earlier today that Johnny Gaudreau would go into the All-Star game. He does not. Look, I would have loved to see the kid there. I'm a big fan of the kid. I'm so excited what he's done here in the city in terms of turning people on and getting people excited. That's what I wanted to see. Is it the end of mankind as we know it? No. Is it a conspiracy? No. Is it a hill that I'm willing to die on? No. It's it looks dumb that they didn't do it. I can't wait till tomorrow and see him play in the or participate in the skills competition. When we come back, Craig Conroy of the Calgary Flames talk a little bit about the CHL Top Prospects game, which was held yesterday, plus a little bit about Yoni Ortio. That's next here on Flames at 5. Repeat the Plumber, the superhero of residential plumbing and heating. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
On the air at 960 on the AM dial. Online at sportsnet.ca/960. Calgary's hockey station, Sportsnet 960. The Fan. The Fan. The Fan. Inside Hockey on the Flames at 5 is brought to you by Calgary Co-op. See the next away game in person. Book through Co-op Travel and earn value toward your Co-op member refund. Let's talk hockey. 60 Minutes on Ice. The Flames at 5 is only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, home of the Calgary Flames and the NHL.
Welcome back to Flames at 5. Pete Blunt, the superhero residential plumbing and heating. Earlier today on Boomer and Rhett in the morning, except this was Boomer and Ryan Pinder, it was Flames assistant general manager Craig Conroy, who just happened to be at the Top Prospects game yesterday, the CHL Top Prospects game, McDavid and the likes. A little bit of a blowout, but he talked about what they scouted there and a little bit about Yoni Ortio, who doesn't appear that he's coming back to Calgary after the All-Star break. Remains to be seen, but, well, we'll let you hear from Craig Conroy, who was asked right off the bat, lopsided game, is that tough to scout?
Well, it is tough. I mean, and you know, you don't want to put too much stock in those games, but you want to see how guys kind of compete. It's a big game. I mean, you look at the one whole section, it's just scouts. It's amazing how many scouts are there. Even in the press room before, there's probably, you know, they set up banquet tables. That's how many guys it were. So for every one player, there was 20 scouts. That's the way I looked at it last night.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's tough. You want a close game, a competitive game. You know, last year was tight, but this year was just complete blowout by the white team.
I have talked to some people who've had a chance to see Connor McDavid in person and have been absolutely blown away. That you can read about him, you can hear other people's accounts of him, and then when you see him, you come away even more impressed. Has that been the experience with you?
I think so. I saw him last year also, but, you know, last year at the World Juniors, okay. You know, I'm thinking, oh, I'm waiting for him to kind of be that guy. And then this year, every time I've watched him, it's pretty exciting. His hands, speed, the way he kind of thinks the game, it's another level. I mean, you just see the way he can stop, turn, go, get himself out of trouble, the plays he makes, how strong he is in his skates. It's definitely fun to watch him. You know, you'd love to be able to get him on your team, but he's probably going to be first overall, so that'd be that makes it tough.
Yeah, I would think. You guys, and you're winning. Hey, you had to go winning a bunch of games.
Screwed it up, Craig.
Yeah, you screwed.
I would much rather be in the playoffs.
I know you would. We'll talk about that. And without naming names, I guess everybody goes there and expects to be impressed by certain prospects. Disappointed in anyone? Maybe were you going with, like you say, it's one thing to watch McDavid, but the further down you go, the prospects that'll maybe go in the 10, 15, 20 range. Did you come away kind of wanting for some of the other performances?
You know, I think I didn't personally put much on the guys that didn't play well. I said that I've seen before. It's the guys that did play well that kind of, oh, I got to get in and see this guy again. He's maybe better than I thought. That's kind of, because in that game, it's one game, nerves, you're not playing with these guys. You know, I thought the Brandon pair played really well on defense together with Pilon and Provorov. Those two guys were probably, you know, they look comfortable. They play together. They just, it's natural for them. Other guys didn't get to play together. So, you know, that makes a big difference, I think. But the Carlo kid, you know, big skater. You know, I don't think he's going to just wow me, but he's a solid player. I mean, I don't think he didn't play unbelievable, but he didn't play bad. So those are the kind of things, you know, you just don't want to put too much stock in it and write a guy off, oh, he can't play because of the prospect.
So is this kind of the last real opportunity? Because from here, the junior teams will get into their postseason and some kids will be there and some other maybe prospects, their team won't make the playoffs. Is this is really kind of getting down to the short strokes here, right?
Well, I think, you know, we just had our amateur meetings here in Niagara right before the game. So, you know, we're working on our list and we're getting it. And now we're saying, hey, you know what? We got to get some more viewings on player X, Y, and Z.
you know, we're going to see him tonight. But for the guys that haven't seen him or don't feel comfortable with him, we got to make sure we get in and see him. We got to know exactly where everybody fits in and where we think who's going to be the best player, wherever we pick, who's going to be the best player at that pick. You know, that's kind of what we're doing. So it gives us, you know, we have a good idea who we like. Did a lot move from September, the early meetings? Yeah, for sure. It's weird how you, I'm like, ooh, that guy moved way up. Like, you know, when this guy stayed and, you know, this guy went down, then to hear why, you know, what the scouts are thinking. It's interesting. But, you know, now is a time where we say, okay, we know most of the guys well. Whatever scouts haven't seen it, that's when the crossover starts coming in. So that's what goes on. And you know what? Before you know it, the season's over. So you got to get your viewings in when you can.
He's Craig Conroy, the assistant GM of the Calgary Flames, here on the Lube City Mobile One Sportsnet hotline. Lube City Express Oil Change, featuring Mobile One, warranty approved to change for the better.
Hey, Craig, the Adirondack Flames have a pair starting tonight, a home-and-home with Rochester. I wonder if you'll have your eyes on that squad, given that you just sent three guys down from the big club to join them.
You know what? I'm going to go watch some college games, but Ronnie Sutter and Brad Pascoe are going to go in and into Rochester tonight and then back home and watch the next couple games. But, you know, we'll be, you know, with a few guys with Shore going to play tonight. And I don't know about those guys that just got sent down. I think they might actually not play. So, but I'm always keeping track of scores and seeing who's doing well and, you know, get the reports after the game, which is fun. But, hey, the team's played great there. The guys are battling. We didn't have a great start, but we really turned it on there after the slow start.
And you've got a real good push from the forward group. I don't know that organizationally, can you remember a year when you've had so many guys knocking on the door that theoretically could step in and help the NHL club?
Well, it's amazing. I mean, you really look at it. I can't remember that. I mean, when I first, you know, started on this side of working in management, you know, I thought we had okay guys, you know, not prospects where you're, you know, but now I'm like, I actually can't wait to see these guys come up. I mean, even guys, you know, like Bryce and Wolf, and they've been pushing. I mean, they're working hard down there. They're maybe not the big name guys that you're hearing about all the time, but you know, they're actually pushing to make a. You know, they want to make the team too, so they're not taking a backseat to anybody down there. But then, you know, Sven's really turned on his game. I mean, I think that's the one guy people probably want to know about. His game's gotten much better, and I wouldn't be surprised at some point if we see Sven back, and hopefully he can bring that confidence with him.
I'm curious about Joni Urteo. Obviously, what can you say about the five-game span that he just had? A tough one in Anaheim, but prior to that, you couldn't want anything more from a guy coming up to help you out. He goes back to Adirondack. Can you... Again, I don't know if you can. I'm curious, what is the plan as you in management have it for him over the next 2 weeks?
Well, I mean, obviously, with the All-Star break, with everything going on, we just, it's tough to carry three goalies in the NHL. I mean, that, it just limits you. And, you know, in the end, you know, Hiller and Rommel are our guys. Hey, we love Oreo. He played great. He came in. The coaching staff was happy. Everything is kind of on track for Orts, but, you know, we just, you know, you really have to at some point, hey, he's kind of had his run, and now we got to get Hiller and Ramo going here. So, you know, we'll send them back, and you just never know. I mean, with injuries, with different things coming and going, but, you know, at some point, I think he played amazing. I mean, he definitely helped himself, and that's what you want guys to do. Bob always said, come in and try to steal a jersey, and Orts did a unbelievable job, which didn't surprise anybody. I mean, he's been playing great in the American League, so we just want him to go back down there, and instead of having that dip, just keep getting better. But he usually does. I mean, that's one thing about Urteo. He's a competitive guy, and he's very confident in his abilities, so I expect him to kind of take off. I don't think he's going to play tonight, though.
Yeah, and I guess there's part of it, too. It's the you play the psychologist a little bit. You have to really instill in him that you were happy and that he is going back, but obviously he would rather be here. And if he'd have won that last game in Anaheim, I don't know if that changes anything, but you don't want all of a sudden for him to go a little bit sideways because maybe he felt like he was here to stay all of a sudden, and now he finds himself back in the A.
You know, I didn't talk to him when he went down, but, I mean, from all the conversations, he understood. I mean, he knew we had three goalies and, you know, the situation, you know, even if he won, he was going back. I mean, that was just going to be that was just the plan from the beginning. So, I mean, you know, that's what you have to do it. Kari's feeling fine. So once he came back and we felt comfortable he's going to be there, you know, there's no point of keeping three goalies, especially a young guy like Orts, if he's not going to play and they want to get Hiller and Rommel back in the net and get them feeling better. They feel like they've had a rest now. And, you know, hopefully they just take off too. I mean, that's the goal. We, you know, you're always like, hey, you just want your whichever goalie to be kind of rolling and run with him for a while. And that's what, you know, that's what Bob's been doing all year.
That's Greg Conroy, the assistant general manager of the Calgary Flames. Thanks to everybody who helped out with the program today, including Bruce Dobigan for, sitting in for a couple of hours. We talked to Andrew McBride, Eric Francis, Eric DeHatchuk. Busy weekend coming up. We're back with you on Monday here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960, talking sports all the time. No radio? No problem. Download the Rogers Radio app and never be without Sportsnet 960 again. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Flames at 5, brought to you by Pete the Plumber. Outstanding service, competitive pricing, professional personnel, and proud recipients of the BBB Business Ethics Award and the Consumer Choice Award from 2003 to 2014.